What would you do if the town's troublemaker knocked on your window late at night and asked for help? That's the dilemma for 13-year-old Charlie, the narrator of Jasper Jones, the new novel by Australian writer Craig Silvey. The book is set in a fictitious West Australian mining town called Corrigan during the summer of 1965. Jasper Jones is the misfit who knocks on Charlie's window, needing help to avoid taking the heat for a crime he says he didn't commit. The bookish Charlie and the Aboriginal Jasper both know what it's like to be marginalised in a small town, and Jasper's plea appeals to Charlie's sense of fairness and justice. Jasper Jones is Craig Silvey's second novel. His first, Rhubarb, received the Sydney Morning Herald's Best Young Novelist Award. Craig Silvey told The Book Show's Erica Vowles about the novel's character and namesake, Jasper Jones.
Jasper Jones is... he's sort of the quintessential outsider in this small regional mining town. You know, he's mixed race, he's solitary, he's more or less an orphan. You know, his mother has passed away and his father is, you know, next to no good. He's more or less maligned by the town for this reason. You know, he's poor and Corrigan sweeps their problems under him. You know, he's sort of the town fall guy and, you know, he exists in the margins for this reason.
One night, the novel's 13-year-old narrator, Charlie, finds Jasper Jones at his window. Jasper needs his help. He convinces Charlie to follow him into the bush, and there, Charlie makes a horrific discovery. Charlie is then pressed into helping Jasper Jones instigate a massive cover-up in order to prevent Jasper being framed for a terrible crime. Author Craig Silvey takes up the story.
It's about prejudice and it's about myth. And he comes to Charlie as Charlie, someone who's quite bookish and quite compassionate, and he comes to him and tries to plead his case and asks Charlie to trust him that he didn't do this. And, you know, through various means, you know, Jasper sort of seduces Charlie into believing that this is the case, you know, and he needs his help. He's quite desperate, you know, and this is what turns Charlie around. He realises that what he's been led to believe about Jasper Jones might not be true. And so it's this that has him coming forward and having the courage to help him.
Craig, here we've got two teenage characters plunged straight into adulthood, into a world where they have no faith whatsoever in justice meted out by small town police. It's a rude awakening, particularly for Charlie.
It is. This is what I wanted the book to address in terms of coming of age and really growing up. It's what I sense it is. You know, I think that becoming adult and coming of age are two vastly different things. You know, I think becoming adult is more a means of independence and selfishness, if you will. But coming of age is something where you burst that bubble of childhood and you learn to slough those myths and what you were led to believe as a child, and you develop that critical outlook. And you challenge the things that you previously knew. And so this is a baptism of fire for Charlie. You know, he learns things about Jasper which he otherwise didn't. You know, he used to subscribe to the myths of the town, you know. And so, yeah, it's this event that bursts Charlie's bubble, and it's about him having the courage to stay with that and learn things, learn the truth of things.
And in this journey, you've captured the fetid atmosphere of small town life. And I noticed that you grew up in a small town. Were you drawing on your own experiences here, your own observances of what small towns can be like?
It's very much, you know, it's an extrapolation and it's an exaggeration. You know, it's very much, you know, it draws on that experience very, very slightly. You know, I understand firsthand the isolation and how folks who live in a small town can be categorised very early and then be trapped by that category. You know, it's very hard to move out of that. But that's really all my own experiences brings to this story. You know, the rest of it is left to imagination. And, you know, the town of Corrigan is an amalgam of you know, many, many country towns that I know of. You know, it's certainly not my experience, but I'd like to think that Corrigan could read as anywhere in Australia. You know, I didn't want it to be parochially West Australian, although it is a West Australian fictional town. I want it to be indicative of a broader Australian experience.
Well, you have created a whole world in this novel, which is set in the mid-1960s. And it paints a stark picture of the racism, of the sexism, and of the general bloody-mindedness of small-town Australia at that period. It's when the Vietnam War was in swing. Why did you choose this particular time for your novel?
Well, initially, it was nothing more than the fact that, you know, I set out to write some gothic fiction. It's the genre of literature that I've always identified with the most and loved the most dearly. You know, it's those characters and that setting that has always stayed with me, and there's something about it that has always resonated. And so it was also something I thought would lend itself so seamlessly to the Australian condition, and I was surprised that it hadn't really previously happened. I couldn't think of much literature that had borrowed from it. And so that was initially, you know, the attraction to set it in the 60s in this period where Gothic fiction was, or Southern Gothic was, you know, at its, well, sort of peaking, and where the, you know, the Halcyon period was. And so it was that initially led me to it. But then the themes opened about coming of age and growing up. And it dawned on me whilst the book's themes were revealing itself to me that this was the period where Australia was purportedly coming of age, where our social politics were, you know, becoming more progressive. And what I wanted to illustrate, especially in this setting, was that maybe they haven't, you know, maybe we just learned to become adult and maybe we haven't really burst that bubble, and maybe these myths that are really do sustain themselves to now. You know, I think the reason that this book is so readily identifiable is because not a lot has changed.
That was going to be my next question, because for me, bigotry and racism courses through the veins of this book. You've got Jasper Jones, who is half Indigenous and he's viewed with suspicion, and you've also got Charlie's friend Jeffrey, who is Vietnamese. There were sections that you wrote dealing with racism that not only literally made me cry, but it also made me really angry. And I'm interested by the fact that you were born two decades after this book's setting. So do you feel that much has changed?
Well, it's certainly not for me to say, given that, you know, I wasn't born of this era. But, you know, I just think it's so readily identifiable. You know, it could be at any point in our history, I think. And so it leads me to worry slightly, you know. I think it's not just a book about racism, it's about marginalisation, and it's about existing in these margins and being ostracised. You know, I think a lot of characters bear the brunt of this due to their difference. You know, I think Charlie, just as much as Jeffrey in some quarters, is ostracised simply because he's thin and bookish and not so good at sports, which is sort of this social currency for the kids in Corrigan. You know, they each share this same sort of socioeconomic status, but if you're good at sport, then you sort of rise to the fore, you know. And so Charlie is more or less ostracized for his intellect. And, you know, I just wanted to illustrate maybe what it was like to grow up, you know, smart or poor or Asian or, you know, Aboriginal in country Australia.
And the other thing I found about Charlie and his voice through the book as a kind of child narrator is that we learn about what he reads, and we learn about what he's kind of aspiring to be. And we know he reads Mark Twain, and he's constantly throughout this conflict striving to be fair and empathetic, like Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird. But I'm wondering whether you feel that the child narrator achieved empathy in all of his kind of recollections and the way he interacts with all of his characters.
Well, I think he just begins that struggle, doesn't he? I mean, there's that point. I mean, some people just simply don't ever grow up. They don't ever have that bubble burst, that moment where the rug is pulled out from under them and they really come to understand the truth of things and they start to challenge those myths. And so this is just the beginning of Charlie's struggle with that, you know, and I think he accepts it more readily than most because he is a reader and he's, you know, he's come to understand that through fiction, not just his own experiences. So I think he makes that leap fairly well, although he struggles with it because it's, you know, such a baptism of fire. Yeah, but I mean, it's more than that. It's about having the courage to do that, you know. It's about the sadness of knowing, about not being ignorant and opening yourself up to these horrible truths, you know, which more often than not can be the reason that most people don't. It's about the sadness of knowing, and it's about, you know, that sort of bliss, but the fear of not knowing and why myths are propagated and why these sorts of prejudices can sustain themselves.
When narrating his story, the observations of Charlie are coloured with that overwhelming sense of bile and injustice that many teenagers feel in their interactions with parents and other authority figures. The character of Charlie's mother is portrayed in particularly bleak tones by Charlie. One encounter has his mother being caught late at night in a compromising position. She's drunk, described as hysterical, aggressive, and Charlie notices particularly how ugly and old she looks when her makeup is smudged. In terms of his interactions, he seems to lack a bit of empathy towards his mother, and his mother is one character who's portrayed in quite stark terms, quite an ugly light. So I'm just wondering if you can talk about his relationship with his mother.
Well, you know, he's a teenage boy, and so, you know, his relationship with his mother and his father, you know, is going to be slightly tested. You know, she represents this sort of, you know, break point in his independence. You know, he's reached this point now where, you know, he wants to break free of that, and she represents this sort of wall. So he kind of gets grumpy. And, you know, she sort of meters out some horrible punishments and that sort of thing. She has her own, you know, reasons for that. But no, I mean, he's just a teenage boy. And so he's, you know, he's not really ever going to write his mother in an accurate light. You know, it's his story more than anything. And so, you know, you've got to take it with a grain of salt, just how she's portrayed.
Craig Silvey discussing his novel Jasper Jones with The Book Show's Erica Vowles. Jasper Jones is published by Allen & Unwin. You'll listen to The Book Show on ABC Radio National.